You are listening to an American Free Press podcast. Joining me on the line is Greg Rosen, co-founder of the American 99ers Union. Greg, thanks for joining us today.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Greg, can you explain to our listeners who the 99ers are and what that organization and the other ones that you're affiliated with actually do?
Sure. Well, the 99ers, it's a term that sprang up recently. It came as a result of a division that was created in Washington. When you read most reports or you see folks in the media or you see folks in Washington discuss the long-term unemployed, they normally refer to those that have been out of work for 6 months or longer. The 99er community are made up of, at this point, over 5 million individuals who have been without work and without any form of unemployment insurance for 99 weeks. In some cases less, but we were referred to as 99ers because that is, at present, the federal limit with respect to the ability for one to collect unemployment insurance.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So then 99ers have exhausted all of their unemployment benefits.
Correct. Simply put, while you hear the phrase long-term unemployed quite often, we are the longest of the long-term unemployed. And at this point, we are the forgotten long-term unemployed.
And the 99 numbered.
The term came as a result of the four-tier systems that were put in place. Obviously, unemployment throughout the United States in past, it was a 26-week maximum. Then as we moved along through the recession and we saw that this was unlike any other recession that we'd seen in past days or past years, the need was quite obvious that Americans needed to still have some form of a financial lifeline. So four tiers were created. Two were created under the Bush administration, two under the Obama administration. Those tiers, if a state was eligible or if your state was eligible for all four tiers, that would then have allowed you to collect a maximum of 99 weeks of unemployment insurance. And that's where the term 99er came from. And in order for a state to be eligible for the fourth tier, your state needed to be at 8.5% unemployment for 3 consecutive months. That would have added additional weeks, which would have brought you to that full 99-week limit.
Okay. And you said that there's about 5 million Americans who are 99ers?
There's currently over 5 million Americans that make up the 99ers in America today, yes.
Now, before we get into a little bit about the background of these organizations, there's some news that came out today and yesterday about the Senate and the House sending that tax cut deal to the president. And what's the status of the 99ers in those deals?
Well, once again, the long-term unemployed, they will be able to continue to go through the tier system. This bill is going to allow them to extend the dates out for another 13 months, meaning that if you're entering your first tier, your second tier, third tier, fourth tier, you'll be able to keep collecting unemployment insurance. What this means with respect to, again, the longest-term unemployed, the 99ers, is absolutely nothing. What this means is that we now have over 5 million Americans who will continue to no longer have the ability to act as investors in America's economy. Consumer spending accounts for 70% of all economic activity in this country. And when you take 5 million people out of that equation, that's why you see unemployment remaining where it has. We're at 19 months and counting where unemployment on a national level has been at 9% or above.
Right. And of course, those are the government calculations. Many people put that figure much higher, 2-3 times as high as what the government says.
Absolutely.
Right. The people who are in tier four, will they be able to go beyond 99 or they're going to stop at 99?
One of the misconceptions when President Obama first addressed the nation last week and spoke about this at that point, the pending legislation, was that he was going to be helping 2 million long-term unemployed to continue to collect unemployment insurance for the next 13 months. That's not the reality. The reality is that if President Obama puts pen to paper today, signs this into law, from the moment he does that, by next week, you're going to have 30,000 people next week and 30,000 people each and every week who are then going to become 99ers. So that number of 2 million that he threw out there, not correct.
Mm-hmm.
To answer your question, when somebody comes to the end of their third tier, if their state was not eligible for the fourth tier, or if they come to the end of that fourth tier, they then become a 99er.
No circumstances will anyone go beyond those 99 weeks.
At the present time, no.
Okay. We have a couple of websites here that our listeners should be apprised of. One of them is www.tier5, that's T-I-E-R, the number 5, .webs, W-E-B-S.com. Another one is www.aftu.webs.com, and that's, of course, advocacy for the long-term unemployed. And another one is unemployedworkersactiongroup.webs.com. Okay, and the other website is American99ersUnion.com. Of course, that's American99ersUnion.com. Did you folks lobby Congress?
We have lobbied the Senate. We have lobbied the Congress. We have spoken to anyone and everyone out there trying to bring some sense and sensibility back to Washington. It's a frustrating battle when you have the Congressional Budget Office, the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office, come out and release a statement on two different occasions stating that they've looked at a number of different programs with which to stimulate the economy and stimulate jobs, and they narrowed that down to 11 different programs. Both times, they came back with the same findings, that extending unemployment insurance for all Americans brought the most bang for the buck. But yet, somehow, this seems to be overlooked once these discussions are brought to the Senate floor and to the floor of the House of Representatives.
And, of course, there was an article that came out recently about this issue that says 99ers have been crying for help in their situation, but this $856 billion tax bill will do nothing for them. Instead, it seems it is all great news for the rich and wealthy in the United States who will receive the majority of benefits from this bill in the end. Is that quite right?
Yeah, the reality is the promise that we're being sold by Washington is that by extending the Bush tax cuts to the top 2%, this will be a stimulant to economic spending and result in job creation. Just a little bit of history. Mm-hmm. The Jobs and Growth Tax Relief Reconciliation Act of 2003 was signed into law by President Bush on May the 28th of 2003. The act actually accelerated certain tax changes that were passed in the Economic Growth and Tax Relief Reconciliation Act of 2001. So it was the combination of both in 2001 and 2003, when put together, then became known as the Bush tax cuts. So what we try and focus on and what we're trying to remind America and remind Washington of is that this is an extension. This is not a creation of some new form of tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans. These tax cuts have been in place for 10 years, yet they did not keep us out of the Great Recession of 2007, nor did the top 2% create jobs once the recession came to its official end in June of 2009. So this is not bringing about newfound money for the wealthiest Americans. Rather, it's simply allowing them to retain the existing dollars that they have. So the same $2 that they had yesterday is the same $2 they're going to have today. They're not gaining anything as a result of this.
Mm-hmm. And when is it expected that the president will sign this into law? Today?
It seems like he's trying to get this thing through as quickly as possible. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So once he puts pen to paper, you guys are out in the cold, right? You're done.
Well, in many cases, sadly, literally, there'll be a number of people that'll be out in the cold. There'll be a number of people that, and there have been a number of people that have already gone homeless. If you look at the numbers put out by RealtyTrack, who monitor real estate transactions throughout the United States, we're on track to reach 1 million homes that will be in foreclosure by the end of this year. That's 100,000 more than last year. The majority of those folks now are not those that were hit as a result of the burst of the housing bubble, but those were people that took out conventional mortgages and had near perfect credit. Why aren't they able to stay in their homes now? They don't have jobs. They've been unable to find jobs.
I guess a lot of folks would say, okay, if they extend it past 99 weeks, where does it end?
Well, where it eventually ends is with job creation. Our country is based upon the laws of supply and demand, and you can't take 5.5 million people with an additional 30,000 every week out of the economic equation. We need to be out there buying goods, purchasing services. That puts a strain on suppliers. When that strain is placed on suppliers, what ends up happening is job creation. The reason we haven't seen that, and really when we really started to see a decline, was in April of 2010. And that was when the largest majority of the 99er community stopped receiving unemployment insurance. They no longer had the ability to invest back into this country.
Mm-hmm. Now, as far as this country ever getting back on track, how do the 99ers feel about that? Are they optimistic that job growth will return?
Well, the reality is, taking emotion out of the equation and looking at this strictly from an economic standpoint, we're not going to see any type of sustained growth until all Americans have the ability to play an active role in our economy. And again, right now, 5 million is too high a number to see any type of stimulus with respect to our economy and job creation. These 2 million people that will now be receiving checks once again when this bill is signed into law, it sounds well and good when that's put out there, but the reality is those people have been receiving unemployment insurance for the last 9 months. But yet, we have not seen the unemployment rate go down. We're looking at an economy right now where, again, we officially exited the recession of 2007 in June of 2009. The unemployment rate in June of 2009 was 9.5%. Here we are 18 months later, the national unemployment rate stands at 9.8%. And the really big number, we've got just a few days left in 2010, so the final numbers are still going to have to be totaled. But since June of 2009, the economy, as of November 1st of 2010, we've lost a net 439,000 jobs.
Doesn't seem like the United States of America, what it once was, is going to return.
Can it? Absolutely it can, sure.
How can it if all the manufacturing has gone out of the country?
Well, again, it's a very simple solution, and that's what's frustrating with respect to contacting the folks in Washington. It's called, again, putting money back in the hands of Americans. There's a reason that you see the different reports coming out from the Commerce Department, from economists throughout the country, that say that for every dollar that Washington sends out in unemployment insurance, that then turns into anywhere between $1.61 to $2 that goes back into the economy. So you're looking at anywhere between a 60% to 100% return on an investment with respect to unemployment insurance. Bernie Madoff, in his best days, as he was perpetrating the largest Ponzi scheme in America, could not provide those types of returns. But the difference between the two is that the return on unemployment insurance, that's real. When this bill is signed into law, you'll see some of the economic indicators that are based upon emotion. They're going to click up a couple points. You're going to see consumer confidence click up a couple points. You'll see the stock market go up for a short period of time. Because again, these are all indicators that are based upon emotion.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you have the lagging indicators, those economic indicators that are based upon fact and figure, eventually the law of supply and demand is going to take over, and the reality is going to set in that the top 2% that are receiving these tax cuts, again, they've had these tax cuts. They've already been in place. They haven't spent the money. Why? Because they're looking down and they're seeing what's happening with respect to the rest of the economy, with respect to the rest of America. And if the rest of America isn't spending, they're not going to spend either. They have the same fears as the middle class, as the lower middle class, as the lower class. The fear is that, am I going to be able to survive? The money I have today, am I going to have tomorrow?
Right. It makes sense. That's $30,000 a week times 52 is over $1.5 million. So we could conceivably see 1 to 2 million long-term unemployed exhausting their 99 weeks of benefits being added to the rolls of the 99ers. So before long, you could see at least 10 million people in the position that you're in right now. Now, you're unemployed right now, Greg, is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. And what did you do prior to you losing your job or however that happened?
Well, I lost my job in January of 2008. I was the national sales manager for a teleservices company. The 20-plus years that I had been in the working world, I had held executive-level positions. I was one that always had a six-figure income, and up until December of 2008, I had a seven-figure portfolio. And I mentioned Bernie Madoff earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up, unfortunately, in December of 2008, I was one of many of the Bernie Madoff victims who lost my life savings.
Oh, wow. Sorry to hear that. Any chance of recouping any of that?
There was a small percentage that was returned, but the majority of it is gone and will stay buried wherever Bernie Madoff buried the money that he had taken from the thousands and thousands of those that were investors.
Mm-hmm. How did you hook up with Bernie Madoff?
Well, like most people, I had some friends down in Florida, and Bernie Madoff, he was the chairman of the NASDAQ for a number of years, was well-respected, and when he spoke, people listened. So he did a lot of talking on golf courses in New York when he was down in Florida, and I found out about Bernie Madoff through some friends in Florida who decided to pool their assets and invest with Bernie Madoff. Eventually, the person that was managing our fund for us, not Bernie Madoff, but the fellow that put together the group of investors, he backed out, and at that point, each of us had our own individual accounts. So it came through word of mouth. Here's this fellow that's had a great career, 40-plus years in the financial industry, has done great things, and has a great formula for success, proven track record. So it looked like a winner.
Right, and people were lining up to hand their money to him, even though he revealed nothing about his investment strategy.
He was a smart salesman. He was turning people away. People would come to him and say, I'd like to invest, and he would say, sorry, it's not enough. We can't bring you in. Like to, but can't.
Wow. So that's all gone, money that you invested with Madoff. You invested all of your retirement with him?
It was the bulk of it, correct.
That's gone. The unemployment is gone. How are you surviving?
Well, as I said, I was fortunate enough to receive something back through the bankruptcy process that had been taking place with respect to the liquidation of Madoff's assets. So I received a small portion back, and that's what I've been living on these last 9 months. But that's coming to an end.
And then what? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, That's a good question. I continue to look for work day in and day out, but with respect to the future, that's something that I don't look to anymore because it's not something that at this point in time in our nation's history, future doesn't look bright. Not for myself, not for anybody.
You were born and raised in the 60s or 70s?
I was born in the late 60s, yeah.
Late 60s, so around that time, graduating from high school in the United States, you knew that wherever you got a job, you could keep that job for life, right? It wasn't until really the late 70s when we experienced the problems that we did here. The word layoff wasn't even in the lexicon until the Japanese imports arrived. And now it's much, much, much worse than it ever could have been during that time. So what's your prognosis for the U.S. economy? What's your gut feeling? What do you think is going to happen? Let's just look at yourself. You're in the Philadelphia area. Do you think you're going to move away from that metropolitan area, go out west, perhaps go south, go north, leave the country? What do you see happening?
Well, I don't plan on leaving the country. I have family here, so I don't plan on leaving the country. With respect to what's going to happen, to move across state lines, it doesn't make sense. Reality is that unemployment knows no boundaries. It crosses all state lines. There is not a state in the country that has not been affected by unemployment. There is not a state in the country that still does not, since the Great Recession of 2007, is still not affected to some extent by unemployment. So this is something that you can't hide from. You can't drive away from it. You can't cross state lines, go somewhere and find refuge, find jobs. Wherever you go, you're going to find the same thing, which is unemployment. No matter where you go, you're going to find the same thing, which is more people losing jobs than finding jobs.
Do you have a family, Greg? Immediate family?
I actually have a mother who's disabled, so that's why I would not be leaving the state, leaving the country. I stay close to her.
How about kids?
With me. I say at this point, fortunately, I am single, but that's something at this point in time that I wouldn't even consider.
Right. If any of our listeners are 99ers or are about to become 99ers, what should they know? What can you tell them? How can they help this cause?
Education at this point is key. Continuing to contact Washington is important. Why? Because this problem is not going to go away. What they're putting out right now and what they're going to be signing into law is simply a Band-Aid. But again, you can't fight the laws of the supply and demand. And that's how our country runs. That's how our country has run for decades. So that being said, you're not going to see things get better, sadly. I'd like to say they are, but they're not going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to continue to contact Washington. You need to continue to contact your elected officials and make them aware that we're aware, that we know things are not going to get better, and we understand why things are not going to get better. Anybody out there that has the opportunity to contact their local newspapers, whether it be a letter to the editor, whether it be contacting a local news station, you need to continually be out there educating and re-educating because America, sadly, was unaware what was going on. There were so many people in this country when the president stood up and said, we're going to extend unemployment insurance for the long-term unemployed. Both 99ers and media thought that meant all the long-term unemployed had a 13-month lifeline that was being thrown their way. Obviously, that wasn't the reality. And again, given the economic climate, the reality is things are not going to get better. They're only going to get worse. So we need to continue to stay on Washington. We need to contact our elected officials. Why? Because at the end of the day, we're the ones that pulled that lever, and we provided them with their jobs.
Does it make sense for our listeners to go to any of the websites that I mentioned previously?
Absolutely. The American 99ers Union is made up of, at present, 19 groups who have come together from all across the country with one specific goal, and that is to save American lives while at the same time rebuild this American economy. We have a number of actions that we do together, so meaning all 19 groups come together and we act as one. We send one united message, whether it be to Washington, to the media, whatever the campaigns might be. That's where you're going to see action taken on a nationwide basis. With respect to the other websites that were mentioned, yes, absolutely go out there, check the internet. There are a number of other groups out there as well, the grassroots 99er organizations.
Right.
They have their own initiatives that they come up with day in and day out. It's a combination of both. If you can do something on a local level, if you find a support group or a 99er group in your area, connect with them. If you find somebody on a national level like the American 99ers Union, I would suggest connect. Because this can't just be done on a local level. This can't just be done on a national level. Everyone in this country needs to be contacted. Everyone in this country needs to be made aware of what's going on, or better put, what's not going on with respect to our recovery.
And, of course, that's American99ersUnion.com, American99ersUnion.com, and that has the 19 affiliated organizations right on the front. I see it right there. I'm looking at it. And, of course, UAG is one of them, and that's the Unemployed Workers Action Group. we were talking earlier and you said that doing what you're doing now, trying to organize the 99ers, is keeping you more busy than when you had a regular job, right?
Absolutely. Myself, as well as others who are on the front lines advocating for the unemployed, spending more time doing this than I did when I had a job. Sadly, though, there's no paycheck that comes along with this.
That was my next question. You're not compensated for this, are you?
No, absolutely not.
How about health insurance? Is that gone?
Long since, yes.
It's not a good story, Greg, and I feel for you. I'm sure many of the listeners feel for you also and wish there was something we could do for you and the people in that position, the other 99ers, the 5 million and growing. And I want to thank you so much for the time that you spent with us today. It's obviously not a very good Christmas present, what Obama is about to do, what he's about to sign. Looks bleak, as you said. The facts speak for themselves, the numbers, supply and demand, which is how it functions. Doesn't look like the economy, at least in the near term, is ever going to recover the way things are going. But I guess we're looking for a miracle, right? Miracle on 34th Street.
We're looking for a miracle, but I think much simpler than that. Once again, we're looking for common sense. We're looking for Washington to recognize that there's a simple solution to this problem. And it's been staring it in the face month after month after month.
Common sense seems to be in short supply out on the Hill, but you never know. Something might happen. Again, Greg, I want to thank you so much for the time you spent, and I hope that if anybody's listening out there that is in that position, you'll go to these websites, especially American99ersUnion.com. If you can't get to it, just do a Google search, as I did, American99ersUnion.com. Get involved. It's something that's very important. Right now, Congress didn't listen this round, but there is going to be another round. And when do you think that might be, Greg?
The American 99ers Union is already preparing our next campaign. Obviously, the Senate and the Congress are going to be going on their Christmas break, so they're going to be going home and enjoying their holidays. But we're going to keep moving on because, again, we recognize that once the 112th Congress starts in January of 2011, that our economy is going to be exactly where it's sitting right now, and it's going to continue along the same path. And unfortunately, that path is a downward spiral, and we need to be continually reminding these folks that we need to get this economy back where it once was. It can happen. And we need to remind folks who are working as well right now that this is going to eventually affect them. I was one who had a job, again, six-figure salary, seven-figure portfolio. Never thought this could happen to me. I had all the sympathy in the world for folks when I would see somebody standing in a line at a food dispensary, saw somebody laying on a heating grate in the middle of winter. My heart went out to them. But did I ever think that this could happen to me? No. Now I look at it, completely different understanding.
Yeah.
And that's what working America needs to understand right now, that if somebody who was making six-figure salary and had over $1 million in assets has been out of work for over 3 years and no jobs are sitting on the horizon, this can happen to anybody.
Yeah, and something's wrong with the economy. Greg Rosen, thanks so much for the time you spent, and I really wish you the best of luck. I hope that things turn around for you and for all the other folks that are in your position.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.